Trendy is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, must be 21 years or older. Welcome back to another edition of Trendy, presented by Omaha, the show where we like to explore the best ways to wager for casual cappers. And I love the Friday edition versus you, Jen, because both of us have brought our A game this week. Both of us are profitable. You were up 14.2 to 13.1 after you had a great Wednesday show. And now we have a massive menu of options for us to explore for the weekend. So I don't even know, how did you even begin to narrow it down to protect this lead?
Well, I did start with my betting, like I told everybody on Wednesday, and I'll break it down. Like I did my usual breakdowns. But I also came with like seven or eight options today, Toby, because I don't know what your bets are. And I like to win. I mean, I like to win. I'm sure this is a surprise to no one. I'm taking this pretty seriously, and I'm going to kind of give out my bets based on, do I need to take a big swing? Do I not? So we'll see. I'm glad I tailed the bet of yours that I tailed. Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, both of the ones that you were weighing between, both were winners, and you picked the one with the better odds, so you got that better payout, but you definitely narrowed it down to the two that both came through for me, and so you are up one unit on me, but I do have one bet in hand because my heater hasn't played yet. The Spurs mm-hmm. are against the Pelicans right. tonight, and so we are in deadlocked photo yes. finish, but both profitable, so we're both beating the books, and therefore we're both beating life. So not only are you one of the best bettors in America, according to Sharp Rank, and how accurate you are also a accomplished musician. So if you guys don't want to hear us talk about music, go ahead and skip forward about 15 minutes, get right to Jen's winners and my attempts at such. So but I want to dive into this a little bit with you, Jen. Last time I had you on here, I made you sing for everybody, and I made you to sing a song that AI/I wrote about how the Astros are dirty, terrible cheaters, and you were a great sport about it. I'm not going to make you do that again, even though I would love to hear that lovely voice. But what I want to do is continue the series that we've been having with everybody else. We did this with Eddie and with Brett and with some of our other guests that have come on, where we talk about the different types of bands there are. And so I emailed this over to you, and I don't know what you think of my overall theory, kind of breaking down your fandom into different levels. And the first level is like a 3-minute band, like a band that has three amazing minutes that you'll revisit over and over again, but that's about it. That's about it for your commitment to that group. And then the one that I think is really interesting, the 30-minute band. The 30-minute band, with the idea being that if you put a highlight tape together, if you're like, oh, this is the best 30 minutes they have versus the best 30 minutes anybody else has, you can convince yourself they're better than the Beatles. You can convince yourself they're the greatest band who ever lived. Some examples I gave were Talking Heads, Creedence, Sublime. Like, there's a great list. NXS is one of the ones that gave out. I think Eddie, your podcast partner, gave out Tool, which I'm still kind of reeling from 6 months later. I'm not sure I bought that one, but it's still Eddie's world and he's living in it.
Okay.
Just so you know what you're up against. Last two quick categories, a 3-hour band is like, okay, I went to a concert and I never wanted it to end. Like, if they played 3 hours, I would have been pumped. And then the final level is what I call a 30-year band. They're just going to be with you your whole life. They're like one of the touchstones. They're one of the things that is your personal pantheon. You're not arguing their greatness. Just like Point Break is my favorite movie. I would never say Point Break is better than The Godfather. That's not the right. point here. Like, that is who they are to you.
Right.
And so 3 minutes, 30 minutes, 3 hours, 30 years. And I let you explore the whole studio space, Jen. So I threw the whole thing over to you and said, pick which of the ones you want. Where did you gravitate towards? Which bands are important to you that you want to talk about here?
Well, there's so many. So I just like playing this game, like the 3:30, 3 hour, 30 year. The 3 minute, I kind of skipped over that one, but I got 30 minute, I got 3 hour, and I got 30 year. I don't know if we want to go over all of them.
No, well, you're going to be back. So keep that in mind. We could always do this on a Friday in the future, because Friday's when we kind of do our fun episodes. So I'll leave it to you. Like, which ones are you most passionate about, or which one do you think is like, I don't know, you want to do a hot take? Like, I famously did Queen as a 30-minute band because I'm sick of people saying they actually are as good as the Beatles. And I broke it down and they really only have 30 good
minutes. Don't get me started. So let me tell you clearly where I stand. I am pro Beatles. I know there are some people that say the Stones are better than the Beatles. The Beatles are overrated. They're not. Their oeuvre, their output, it's just incredible. And the way they changed styles so quickly, and it was just magical. It was perfect. Not only were they a great band, they also were a cultural influence. I mean, they really changed the world, right?
Yep.
The way we saw everything. So I am 100% in pro Beatles camp. So this is what made it really interesting. When you said the 30-minute band, they have to be so good that you could convince yourself that they're better than the Beatles. Well, that was like, oh, God. Well, who could that be? Because to me, like, that's just amazing.
High mark to clear.
High mark. So I came up with a couple
that
are going to be controversial.
Okay. Love it.
I think. And you're going to think it's weird. But I'm really sticking to the rules. Okay, number one, it's the Bee Gees.
Oh, no, Jess. Yep.
And because the Bee Gees are like, who wants to listen to Barry Gibb sing in falsetto forever? You don't. But for 30 minutes, listen to these songs. You can get Broadway, The Lights on Broadway. You can get More Than a Woman. More Than a Woman is a great song. You get Staying Alive. Obviously, like, who doesn't love Staying Alive?
Sure.
You get Run to Me, which is one of my favorite songs. And that's got Maurice singing lead. And his voice is incredible. To Love Somebody, that is a great, great song. So, I mean, 30
awesome.
Minutes.
It's only awesome 30 take. Minutes. Yeah.
Right? Just 30. Here's my second.
That is an awesome take. I would say the reason why I guess I had such a big reaction is like the Bee Gees, you are right. If you take the 30 minutes and you actually break it down, it's like, okay, that's great. I don't know. I just don't know if by minute 21, I'm like, oh my God, I can't wait to get to the next one. I think for me, like the Bee Gees might, you know, not fill the full 30 before it sounds a little bit too Bee Gees-ish to me. And plus Jimmy Fallon and Justin Timberlake just ruined them for an entire generation on Saturday Night Live. And so you got to dig past that. Yes. You got to look past the Barry Gibb's talk show and get back to the music.
So Bee Gees is for me, but you do have to dig through the catalog. But I think it comes up to about a half hour for me.
Yep. I'm with it. I was not expecting that. You took me by surprise and you made a great case. What else you got?
Okay, second band. Ready? It's kind of in the same vein. Beach Boys. Again.
Good one.
Listen to that much Beach Boys, but let's listen. What have they got? They've got California Girls, Good Vibrations, and one of the best songs of all time, God Only Knows. I mean, who doesn't watch Love Actually and get to that God Only Knows scene? And you're just like wanting to go put flashcards out for the person you love too. Like that's it's great songwriting. So Brian Wilson and the Beach Boys. That being said, I don't want to listen more than 30 minutes of it because that's not like done.
So Jen, that's actually closer to my Queen take than I think we would either of us would recognize, because like as part of getting into all this music and getting into all these discussions and things like that, I started like looking at, and my by the way, this all started because my daughter, who's 11, you know, really wanted to deep dive into music and music history and learn about it. And so we got into like the greatest band of all time conversations. That's the way kids start, right? Like it's actually the way adults do things. It's the way we all do things. Why we love this. And it's why ESPN still has ratings is because they rank things all day. And so like we started talking about the best bands of all time, and it's shocking how many of them are non-American. And so you think about the Beatles, you think about the Rolling Stones, you think about Led Zeppelin, like some people threw out Queen, like, you know, one after another, it's not a lot of non-American bands. So then the question turned to who is the best American band of all time? And so when I looked up, I started to look up, okay, I'm not the first person to think of this or ask this question. And when I started looking what other people start listing, the Beach Boys is almost always like towards the top of the list, like one, two, or three, which blew me away. Like they wouldn't be in my top like 20 or 30 just personally. There's no shots at the Beach Boys. It's like I don't associate them with being that great, but like the popular culture out there is like best American band of all time.
They make you feel good.
Yeah.
The songs make you feel good. And they're nostalgic. Like they put you to a place, right? Like you hear Good Vibrations, you hear California Girls, and like you're strutting, you hear Kokomo. Like, you know, they're just, I don't know. And I wouldn't say they were great if it weren't for that song, God Only Knows. It's like that one that kind of elevates them, the lyrics, the music. And Brian Wilson was a great songwriter. So I wouldn't put him as the greatest American band of all time. I have my own take for that, but I would take them for a 30-minute band.
They are a perfect 30-minute band, but I think that's the point, right? The greatest American band of all time can't be only good for 30 minutes.
Can't be 30 minutes.
So got to have a little bit more to you than that to reach that high of a perch. You want to give us another 30 minutes? You want to go to a different category? What do you want to do?
Let's go to the 3 hour. Let's go to, I don't know if we want to go to 30. Let's go to 3 hour.
What do you got?
Why not? 3 hour band. Now you're going to see like where I grew up. Foo Fighters, Goo Goo Dolls, U2, and R.E.M.
Dolls. I mean, you want to talk about one of these things is not like the other. You just named three of the greatest bands in the last 30 years and the Goo Goo Dolls.
Now, let me tell you why. Let me tell you a little story. I went to a Counting Crows concert when I was in at Jones Beach when I lived in New York with my girlfriend. And we were all excited about seeing Counting Crows. And the Goo Goo Dolls came out and opened. And you know what happened? We knew every flipping song and we sang along and we didn't realize how good it was. We didn't realize how good John was on stage. Like they were so good. We then found ourselves following the Goo Goo. We went to like three more Goo Goo Dolls concerts to see the Goo Goo Dolls. We didn't even know we liked the Goo Goo Dolls. We really didn't. But it's one of those things you got stuck at the concert and then you realize. So I felt like this is exactly what I did. I actually went accidentally and saw the Goo Goo Dolls and I enjoyed this concert so much I went to more Goo Goo Dolls concert.
What was the longest Goo Goo Dolls show you saw though? I mean, like what we call a 3 hour band, like you're really like an hour, you know, at the 92nd minute mark, you're like, God, I hope they do twice as much, or like, oh, they're out of songs.
No, they have way more songs than you realize. It's astonishing how many songs you know. You have no idea how many, you know, it's truly shocking. I was shocked. I was not interested in the fact that the Goo Goo Dolls were there at all. I was like, let's go get a beer and come back.
I also went to a Counting Crows song and Live was opening for them. And there were guys around me who were convinced they were at a Live show and I had to move seats.
That one wouldn't have done it for me, I don't think.
Yeah. All right,
Counting Crows was underwhelming live, by the way.
Counting Crows is what now?
Was underwhelming live.
Yeah. I got a longer take on them, and I'll save it for the next time they come out here. So you got R.E.M., U2, and the Foo Fighters you threw in there as well?
Foo Fighters, U2, and R.E.M. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, no controversy there whatsoever. I guess the only real controversy is, like, none of those reached, like, the 30-year plateau for you. Like, none of those are, like, touchstones for you, but they're very important bands with deep catalogs that you wouldn't want to only hear 30 minutes of.
Right. Absolutely. 30-year bands. You ready?
Yep.
They're all British except for one.
Of course.
Beatles, Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd, and the Eagles.
Whoa. Okay. Is the Eagles the greatest American band of all time for Jen then? Like, are they
the top?
I think
it is. I started thinking about them as a 30-minute band. And then I started going through it and I was like, no. Way more than 30 minutes. Way more. And I can listen to Hotel California, that album, over and over and over again. Just that one album. I used to listen to it when I was 16 years old. I put in the tape deck in my car and drive around and listen to Hotel California over and over again. It's one of the first songs I learned to play on the guitar. Eagles, that's my greatest American band.
That is a good take. I think I can get behind it. I grew up listening to the Eagles' greatest hits, as a lot of people, you know, in my age range did, that their parents were probably playing nonstop. It's one of the greatest selling albums of all time, I'm pretty sure. And then the Big Lebowski comes around and just ruins it for everybody. Sitting in the back seat saying, I hate the bleeping Eagles, man. And all of a sudden they became uncool in one sentence. Jen, love the list. I mean, like you hit the classics there. Led Zeppelin would also be on my 30-year list. The Beatles, I don't know. The Beatles, I could probably do a whole podcast on. Pink Floyd would probably for me be closer to the 3 hours than 30 years, just because like that live experience is so great. But I don't find myself going that deep into like Another Brick in the Wall and like, man, I'm going to put this on repeat. Like I'd rather just like play Pulse and like get into that and get into that live experience rather than get like all the way into their catalog and spend a lot of time reveling in it. But I mean, when I look at the list of greatest bands of all time, these are exact bands that are on it. And so you are very much on the pulse, no pun intended, of where people are at. You want to hear the first ever 30-year band that I've given out? I guess I just gave out Led Zeppelin. You want to hear the first one, which is the reason the other reason I want to do this today. I am now 44 years old, and therefore I am far more comfortable not being cool and like not worrying about what people are going to say when I say it's a 30-year ban. It's Vampire Weekend. Vampire Weekend has not even been around 30 years.
Like Vampire Weekend.
They've only been around 16 years. They're not even around for my whole life. But from the moment that I have found them until their new album that was released today, Only God Was Above Us was released today, I know they are going to be with me my entire life. And I am sorry, not sorry. Like, I know that they have a bunch of things that tie to white privilege, and they have a bunch of things that tie to, like, oh, we don't like the pop collars and the bleeding mattress and all that. But like, I look past that because this album that came out today, I was lucky enough to get my hands on a copy ahead of time, made me so freaking happy. And it was because the band aged. And so, like, I went back and listened to the self-titled release after I heard this album, and you hear the simplicity, and you hear just like the great hooks and the great melodies that meant that resonated with me when I was 28 when I first heard the album. And like, now I go back, I'm like, God, this is simple compared to where they have evolved to. But you know what? Life is simpler
Beatles.
When you're 28. Yes, like the Beatles. It's exactly
right. The
Beatles
were the same. Started with I Want to Hold My Hand and ended up with Sgt. Pepper's or White
Exactly.
Album.
Exactly. That's why the Beatles are one of the best ever. And you've already hit one point. It's the evolution of their sound as they age. That Vampire Weekend isn't still just screaming about Madras and pop collars and Oxford commas and those sorts of things. And like, when they came on and they played the simpler music, it was a simpler time in their life and it was a simpler time in my life. And so it's still fun to go back and listen to that and be nostalgic for this warmer age. But the fact that as their life got more complicated, as everybody's life gets more complicated as they age, so do their music and so do their sophistication. And the way that they are writing now reflects the way I feel about my own like personal journey through the years and through the span of time. And so this album is astonishingly good. And it's actually an album that I was lukewarm on the first time I heard it, but I've listened to it an embarrassing amount of times now. And it is absolutely incredible. It hits you at first like a wall of sound, because they layered everything so deep and it's so noisy and things like that, but it rewards repeat listening more than anything I've heard in the modern age. And the fact that they got so sophisticated and the fact that they're no longer so simplistic, I think is really attractive. And it's also something that I will listen to my whole life because it is still so complicated. And the other thing I really appreciate about Vampire Weekend, Jen, and then I'll wrap this up, is the specificity. And so, like, I don't know why you listen to music. I mean, there's a million reasons for a million different people to listen to music. But for me, like, you can get into a Grateful Dead song. You can get into a Pink Floyd song. You can get into those things, and you're just immersed in it for 20, 30 minutes. You just, like, sink into it like you would sink into, like, a Lazy Boy or your favorite chair or a hot tub or things, and you just luxuriate in it. But there's other music, and a lot of the times it's like, that 6 seconds just hit me so freaking hard. And that 6 seconds I will live in for over and over again in 6 second increments forever. And Vampire Weekend is incredible at that. They're incredible at a single stanza of lyrics, like where they pull away from the pretentiousness of being formed at Columbia and hit you with some real truth that you didn't realize that you thought too until it was crystallized through this, like, you know, Baroque melody and catchy beats. And they do that over and over again. And like, I just enjoy it. As I said, I'm sorry, I'm not sorry. I'm not here to apologize. I'm not here to be corny. I'm not here to be anything like that. But those moments of specificity that I return to over and over and over again are why some people like read novels. There's some reason some people read poetry. There's some reason like people like listen to classical music. And I've happened to just found it in like these preppy bastards who are super privileged, but resonate with me.
I mean, I feel like you should do their PR. And I think those are the exact reasons that you should listen to a band, because a band music, obviously I have a couple of music degrees and I listen to classical music all the time, but I listen to rock. I listen to all of it. And you listen to it to speak to you for whatever moment that you're in and whatever you need. And music is something special and it's universal. You don't even have to necessarily know what the words mean. If you do know, they're even more impactful. You know, when you said you were 44, I thought we were going to come up with Nirvana or Pearl Jam. I did not expect Vampire Weekend, but now I've got to go get the album.
It is so freaking good. And because I had an advanced copy and I was listening to it nonstop over and over again, it was like a weird little secret I had in my ears. Like I'd be out walking the dog. I'm like, does anybody know that I'm actually listening to the album right now? And then I'd see somebody smiling. I'm like, they must be listening to it too. Why else would anybody smile in the world? Like, you have to be listening to Ice Cream Piano right now. What other explanation is there? So it was a fun week to have it in advance, but now it's out to the world. Came out at midnight last night. And like, look, maybe you like the band, maybe you don't, but the fact that they're no longer just out there like talking about taking naps on balconies at college and like really getting into like the way people age and the way like the past influences the present and they don't look too much to the future, things like that. It grew with me. It's exactly right.
With you. And I mean, I think that is what makes it great. That's again, like we were saying about the Beatles, by the way, my favorite Beatles story. Someone once asked John, is Ringo the greatest drummer in the world? And John said, Ringo isn't even the greatest drummer in the Beatles.
In the British accent, even better, Jen. Yeah, I mentioned my 11-year-old Kate earlier and like this musical journey, and like I'm still a little bit mad at her because I try to be a good dad, I try to be a cool dad. And so like when we lived in Austin, I would take her to Austin City Limits from the very young age. And so her first concert ever, Jen, like I don't know if you it's a fun icebreaker, like something to talk about or whatever it is. And like, I love hearing people's answers. Like her answer, because I took her to ACL, was she saw back to back David Byrne, Father John Misty, and Paul freaking McCartney. The first ever time that she saw live music.
Wow.
The Talking Heads and the Beatles, like back to back at her first concert. Mine's not bad. I'll let you share yours in a second. Mine, Led Zeppelin Reunion, 1995, Plant Page. That was my first concert.
Elton John.
That's a good one.
And I do love Elton John. I do. It was like Elton John, Billy Joel. It was downtown. And I love Billy Joel too, but they're not bands. So I didn't like include them because they're like solo artists. But I love Elton John and Billy Joel. They're both like songwriters and storytellers. Yeah. And so like Billy Joel is someone that would be a 30-year band to me. Yeah. If he was, but he's not. So I'm not counting Jason Mraz and Elton John, those kind of people. I'm not counting them. I'm counting like real bands. But yeah, I love Elton John, Billy Joel. So that was my first rock concert. I recently like took a trip to Las Vegas to see Paul McCartney because I was afraid it like might be my last chance to see him live. And he was, I mean, he didn't stop. He's like 70 something years old and he's out there for 3 hours just playing these like epically long concerts. I mean, he's not like Madonna waiting until 11 p.m. to come out and sing like 4 songs. He's out there playing left-handed bass, playing the piano. Just anyway, we have bets to do. I'm sorry. If you get me on this.
Sorry, everybody. Like, sorry.
I can't stop.
I was about to go into a whole Billy Joel riff and things like that, but we'll stop right here, Jen.
I'll tell you my Christy Brinkley story on the next podcast.
There you go. We'll put a pin in it right now. We'll get to Christy Brinkley. We'll get to all of this next Friday that you are back. But right now, let's give Caesars a little bit of love and finally get to our picks.
You know, when the conversation turns tampers, I always go with my number one as Caesars. Let's talk about them a little bit, shall we? Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesars Palace. All this can be yours when you bet with Caesars Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns rewards credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using this code. Listen up, OmahaFull. The word Omaha and the word full. And then you place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great. If you keep those winnings, but if you lose, you'll get your stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and over only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet, $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770 Stop, licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harrah's, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
All right, Jen, we're back. And instead of doing another 2 hours on music, which is what you and I both want to do, let's go ahead and let's finish our contest and give out a couple of winners. As I said earlier, you are up a unit on me right now, even though I do have the bet in hand, but I am going to concede honors to you, let you lead off, not just because it gives me a strategic advantage. Go ahead and give me your heart pick.
Okay, so this worked out on Wednesday. For those of you that listened, I took my heart pick was Yordan Alvarez to hit a home run. I had my reasons. I said it was a little bit of a shot in the dark in that it was based on a specific pitcher matchup.
And he hit two.
Of course, Yordan hit two home runs. Yeah. So I wanted to get paid twice, but I don't think the rules go that way.
They do not.
I'm going to kind of follow up on that and I'm going to do it again. This time I'm going to combine my bet from Monday and Wednesday. I'm going to take Kyle Tucker to hit the home run tonight, plus 340. Here are my reasons why. This is not just a shot in the dark. Again, as I said, I like to do the lefty splits. Tucker is amazing versus left-handed pitchers. Last year, specifically versus this pitcher, he had four at-bats, and in that, he had a home run. So we know he can hit the home run. The other thing is the Astros absolutely dominate at Globe Life Park. They were 8-1 last season win in Arlington. On top of that, the Astros have hit the most home runs per game this year. They're second only to the Dodgers. So the Dodgers have 14 home runs, but they played two more games. The Astros have 12 home runs this season, 50% of their runs coming by a home run. I'm feeling it tonight for Kyle Tucker, lefty on lefty, right there, number three in the lineup. And I think it's going to be a night for Tucker. And when we get to Second Guess Express, I'll give you that too, but it's kind of along the same veins. But we're going to go with Tucker home run plus 340. It's a big swing.
You are so good at these hard props. You were in the NFL. You've been so far in MLB. And so I think that is a great pick. And I am already living in terror of it. The only thing I could do is not tail it necessarily on the show, but tail it in real life. Well, Jen, for my heart pick, I am going back to hoops. And I am trying to capture the non-exciting games in a single bet. So I am going to do, and this is at Caesars. And so Caesars allows you to adjust the lines for the men's game, not the women's game. Come on, Caesars, up your game here. Like, the women should have all the same options or action as the men, particularly when they're playing the more attractive and better brand of basketball right now that's capturing the public's attention. But I did find one way to do it, Jen. So I'm going to take Purdue adjusted to 2.5, UConn's men adjusted to 2.5, and South Carolina first half money line. So you do those bets together and you get all the way down to minus 102. And so, like, I think we can agree before the ball gets thrown in the air that there's one game that everybody is super excited about, and it's UConn and Iowa tonight. That game is going to be magical. That game is going to be awesome. And I've got to say, I almost, Jen, I came this close to making the same mistake I did on Monday and taking UConn and fading the public's obsession with Caitlin Clark. But I do not want to sully it, honestly. I just want to enjoy the Caitlin Clark experience tonight. So I wanted to stay away from it because it's the most compelling story in all of sports. So then, because I wanted to cover the rest of them, I had to figure out how to make these other games interesting. And I don't think Purdue or UConn is going to face a challenge. So basically, I didn't want to take the money lines. The odds were so terrible. So I adjusted it down to basically, like, they just have to win by three or more. So, like, it just can't come down to the final shot, because otherwise they're going to get fouled. They're going to have a chance to extend to three or higher. Just can't come down to the final. Took South Carolina the first half money line for similar reasons, right? Like, I think that game's going to be a blowout, but I couldn't just take the money line. And the spread was just too high. And so I found the first half money line, the hack to get around this. So you put all this together, that we see one amazing game from Caitlin Clark and Paige Beckers tonight. We see three games, but I make some money on it, minus 102.
Okay. All right. I'm thinking about it. three leg parlays always make me a little nervous. The third leg always feels like, okay, all right.
I already know which one you're tailing. Your only debate is, well, you're going to tail or fail me. Cause if you tail me, I already know which one you're going to tail. So go ahead and remove that one from your mind. Just enjoy the basketball, but I'm going to make some money on it.
Okay.
All right. What do you have in head, which is always your most dangerous category?
Okay. Head pick. I am taking the Nationals and the Phillies game for over 8 runs.
Yep.
I really like this one a lot. I used all the brain cells in my head, which was like 4. First off, the Philadelphia Phillies absolutely crushed Patrick Corbin. He was one of the worst pitchers last year. They, as a whole, are batting 300 versus him. And specifically, Kyle Schwarber is fantastic versus him, Alec Boehm. So a lot of dangerous hitters versus Patrick Corbin. But what's even more interesting is people think of the Phillies as the team that's the, you know, offensive juggernaut. It's the Nationals that have actually scored more runs per game this year. Well, guess what? Aaron Nola got shelled in his first outing. I've never really been a huge Nola fan. He's either on or he's really not. And I think the Nationals may be able to get to him tonight at home. On top of that, who has the absolute worst bullpen in all of MLB right now? The Phillies, an ERA of nearly 8. They don't know what's going on. So really taking the over here at 8 when you get the possibility at least of a push, I guess that doesn't really help me in this contest, but it's pretty good value. Games at Nationals Park are averaging 10.33 runs this year. I know there's only been 3 of them, but don't totally discount this Nationals team. And on the other side, the matchup is really good for Philadelphia. So I'm taking the over here. The only question was, depending on how close we were, and you know what? I think I'm going to do it because I feel.
All right. What are you doing?
I'm actually going to parlay it. Okay.
Ooh, you're going for it now. All right.
We're going to go for it. We're going to parlay it with Kyle Schwarber under 2 strikeouts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's +185. Boom.
All right. So, Jen, you have now given me what? A +320 and a +185.
And
all of my picks are minuses. And so this is really a referendum on me. This is a referendum on you, and you can't take it back. You have to hit all your long shots, and I am just going to try to small ball my way to victory. Yeah. And here's the one I'm small balling one in the head category, which is Jose Quintana under 5.5 Ks is -122 tonight. And so. Yeah. And so, Jen, if I told you you can fade a 35-year-old pitcher on longevity in a game, you'd probably be in. What if I then told you that pitcher averaged less than a K per 9? You'd be extra in. What if I then told you he played for the Mets? And you can just fade an aged pitcher who doesn't have strikeout stuff, who plays for the Mets at only a little bit of juice. Only a little bit of juice of -122. He is over the hill. He never had swing and miss stuff to start with. His K per 9 career is 7.9, down to 7.2 last year. And in 13 starts, he only touched 6 Ks twice, baby, twice. And so this trend I'm playing right now of continuing to look at 2023 numbers and just factoring them into April 2024 is undefeated. I am not worried about losing that tonight from Quintana on the Mets getting to 6 Ks -122.
Okay, that is a really good one. My concern is, and I just double checked it and my gut was right, Cincinnati is striking out at a ridiculous clip, 30%, 29.4, second most only after Seattle. So I think what they're counting in there is the Ellie De La Cruz automatic strikeout. So that is a really tricky one, actually.
He's going to have to make it. To
the you're right. Quintana doesn't have, he doesn't have swing and miss stuff. He's not a strikeout pitcher. He's just like the pitcher you put on your fantasy baseball team because he gives you some ERA protection and hopefully he gets you a win if Pete Alonso decides to play that day. But otherwise, like, yeah, that's a tricky one.
I think he's got to make it into the, he's got to make it into the 6th or 7th to get to 6 Ks. Like, even if the Reds do break a strikeout,
it's 5.5.
It's 5.5. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said it was 4.5. It's 5.5.
It's 5.5.
He's ever struck out.
only twice last year. And I looked 2 years ago when he was 33 and not even as much over the hill. And even 2 years ago, in 32 starts, he only did it 9 times. So you're talking about a guy 2 years older away from a 75% hit rate on something you're only paying -122 on.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good bet.
Thank you. That's the one I know you're going to end up tailing unless you decide to fail me further down the line. So how are you feeling about your O's tonight in your heater category? You got to give them the cover.
You know what? It's they almost did it for me on Wednesday. They won. They almost, just didn't.
Yeah. Same with the Dodgers in my bet.
But there's just no value. Yeah. Same with the Dodgers. But there's no value in the run line. I'm just like not interested. So I'm feeling pretty good. It's the Pirates. The Pirates have been really hot.
Yep.
But, you know, I think it's time for the Pirates to calm down a little bit. And then the Orioles to they have this ninth inning magic. And let's just hope it continues.
Well, I'm feeling great about my bet in hand. I have the Spurs are getting 11 tonight against the Pelicans. And again, the Pelicans do need to have a win. They are fighting for postseason position as they try to stay out of the play-in games, but they don't need to win by 20. There is no point differential. There is none of that in the NBA. They can win by 5 or 6, just like the Nuggets did against the Spurs when they were laying 15, and I go ahead and clean up. So I would not touch the Spurs money line, but that gap between money line and 11 points, I am super comfortable living in between at minus 110.
Yeah, that one sounds pretty safe actually to me.
Well, you can always tail that way. You can tail a heater. There's no rule against that. That just leaves us though to our last bet, Jan. And you wrote down 8 bets. You looked for more while I was talking. I see you looking off screen. I see you trying to come up with the real winner here. You already went for 2 big swings. Are you going for a third in your credibility pick?
Not really big. Decently big. It is plus money. It's plus 105. It's Alec Bohm to have over 1.5 total bases. Look, Alec Bohm is dramatically different versus left-handed pitching. Dramatically. In a small sample size this year, he's hitting like 350 versus like 100 versus lefties. Last year, it was like a 30-point difference. I mean, it's a big difference. And almost all 3/4 of his home, he had 20 home runs, like 12 of them were versus lefties. And just think how often he faces a lefty, maybe half the time, like, you know, half as often. So he's really, really good versus left-handed hitters. And you remember, we put this as our second guess express and we missed out on it the other day. So I'm not going to make that mistake again. I know that I'm kind of doubling up on this game, but I need the runs here. So I'm kind of backing my own play. He specifically versus Corbin. Let me look at his specific numbers. Have him here for you. He has 2 doubles and 2 home runs in 22 at bats. He has 8 hits in that time as well. So I like my odds here. Like I said, he's just really good versus left-handed hitting. It's plus money. It's actually plus 108. Sorry, not plus 105, plus 108. It's my cred bet. So maybe that was risky. Maybe I should just gone with the overplay here, but I'm trying to double up here where I can. And I got a couple of second guess expresses that are also plus money. So
yeah,
what are you going to do?
That is your addiction. You love the plus money bets and you're really good at identifying the value there. I am going to tail that one. I was going to tail your Phillies Nats over because I completely agree with you on the offense for the Nats. And I do think that they're going to hit that because the pitching's so bad. I do not want to trust on Schwarber against Corbin tonight. And then if you hit your home run bet, you're probably going to win the week anyway, but I'm not going to join you on that lottery ticket. And anytime you give out those many stats in your credibility pick on a Friday with the game on the line, as much and you like to win and as competitive as you are, there's no safer bet that there is than that combination from Jen Piacenti in my world. I did try to find a safe bet though, Jen, because as I said, I'm not fading you, but I am challenging you to beat me, and I am going to set a number at about 19 or 20 and make you clear it. So I'm doing the same thing that I did on Wednesday. I identified a dog day NBA bet that I think the under looks really, really good to me. Gobert came through with flying colors on a 4.5 rebound total, only grabbing 2 in the first quarter as he kind of jogged his way up and down the court to an easy cash for me. I found another one, and it is Scoot Henderson. Scoot Henderson's first quarter assist number is 2.5. Against the Wizards, I am taking the under, and I am drinking the juice at minus 139. Jen, Scoot Henderson has played 57 first quarters this year. 57. He's played them in October. He's played them in December. He's played them in January. He's played them when he was a Rookie of the Year candidate. He's played them under tremendous scrutiny. He's played them at full speed over and over and over again. And he's only hit 3 assists in the first quarter 4 times. 4 times this entire year. He is failing this bet 93% of the time when games mattered and he had more on the line. And so I know he's going against the Wizards, so I always fade because how bad they are. But when a sample size is 57, Scoot has failed to hit this against bad teams. He's failed to hit this against good teams. He's failed to hit this against teams who play fast. He's failed to hit this against teams who play slow. I don't care that he's playing the Wizards. I just know that he is not getting to 3 assists in a random game in April without it just being an outright fluke. And so while everybody on both sides wants to be in Cancun drinking Mai Tais, I will swallow that juice at 139 with no problem at all.
I'm going to tail that one.
Oh, there we go. You're lying minus 139. What's the world come through? Is that the heaviest action you've ever had to lay in any bet you've actually made?
Probably. But I gotta think, like, I also like the Quintana bet, but there's just enough hesitation for me with how bad those Reds have been. And for them to set it that high, Las Vegas knows something because it shouldn't be that high. I thought about failing the first one because I don't like 3-leg parlays.
Yeah.
But I want to be a little safer, and this sounds like the safest way. And I know you may double up on it.
There you go. Talk it out. Take my interest. You got it.
I mean, you're really going to have to post a graphic on Monday for how this went, because we went about this two totally different ways and find out which strategy worked. So
this is a show where we like to explore the best ways to wager for casual cappers, my friend. Yeah. And so we are taking it from two different ways. We'll see which one comes out victorious in this 1 week sample size, but it's been really fun. We have Second Guess Express coming up right after this break, and then we will get you into your weekend finally. All right, Jen, we are back. We got one more pick. So as we both give out what we put onto our betting bench and therefore fast-tracked it to victory via the Second Guess Express. I gave you honors earlier, so I'm going to give out mine first. And I thought about putting in one plus money, and I thought about trying to get you to tail it because of your witch powers. But it does not make any sense to me that the Rangers are the underdogs against your Astros tonight. They are playing at home. They are 4-2. They are the better team right now, I think. And the pitching matchup isn't so far skewed that the Rangers should get a plus number. So the Rangers are plus 118. And I don't know what I am missing. Maybe as an Astros fan, you can tell me. But like, why am I getting the plus here?
I can tell you. I understand why you do that, and that would be anyone's gut reaction, but my Second Guess Express is actually Astros money line.
Okay, tell me why.
Okay. The Astros, though, they have struggled so much at Minute Maid. They are in charge of Globe Life Field. That is their ballpark. They defeated, the record is phenomenal when they're there. Specifically, the Astros are amazing versus left-handed pitching, and that's what's going on right now for the Rangers. They also just lost Josh Young, so they're kind of in a spot. The way the Astros, like I said, 12 home runs, I get it, but there's this mental thing that's happened for the Rangers and the Astros, and I'm going on that trend. They have just absolutely... They're just so good at Globe Life Field. It is their home park right now. So that's why they're heavily favored. So that is my Second Guess Express. It was between that and Jose Altuve plus 340 home run. And let me tell you why. He played 7 games at Globe Life Field last year. He had 7 home runs.
It's a good ratio.
It's a good ratio.
Pace.
So, and he leads the league right now, at least the team right now, with 3 home runs. So that's why. And it is a tricky one. It's bold to say cover the run line, because you're right. The Rangers have been better on a per game basis with runs. They have been. But the pitching for Houston is so much better than the pitching for Texas, at least the starting pitching. Not Hunter Brown specifically, but just in general. So yeah. So this will be a fun one.
All right, we're head-to-head on Second Guess Express. One of us has to win, even though it doesn't count.
That's
for great. Either of us.
Even though it doesn't count.
So, Jen, obviously you're a delight every time we bring you on here, particularly with the amount of expertise that you bring in and the winning bets that you bring to our listeners. You'll come back, of course, during baseball season in a few weeks, a few months, sometime down the road. We can't keep you stay away too long now that the boys of summer are here. But while they are waiting for your return, where can listeners find you?
You can find me in the short term at athlonsports.com. And of course, follow me on Twitter, Instagram at Jen Piacenti. It's P-I-A-C-E-N-T-I. There's no H.
And over-unders from the NFL are out as well. So I'm sure you started to dig into those. We'll definitely have you back on come July to go over some player prop overs and unders as well.
Oh, for sure. That'll be great.
Can't wait for that. How else you could kill the time in the meantime is go back, listen to the other shows on the Extra Points Podcast Network. Another great week from -3 per usual. Some awesome stuff on the tournament from the Lemon Pepper Parlay. And then Brett and I broke down all of your soccer action late into the night last night. Came out this morning. If you want some more, hopefully winning bets. So Jen, as I said, loved having you on. Anything else you want to say to everybody before we head out? Any more hot music takes you want to throw? Singe my ears on the way out the door?
No, you're just going to have to wait for those and continue to listen to Trendy and just wonder when I'll be back.
Well, I don't know if I'm listening to Trendy ever again because I got to listen to a ton of Bee Gees, apparently, to see if your 30-minute band holds up. That is what I'm going to do this weekend. I did promise you during the break. Oh, if you'll sing it, I will definitely listen to it. That is a promise. So until Jed comes back, until next week, where Brett Corbitas will be on to break down the national title game on the men's side, Champions League action midweek, as well as the Masters. His three favorite sports collide in a single week, so I could not deny my friend the opportunity to come in and give you guys some winners. Until then, enjoy the weekend, enjoy the basketball tonight and tomorrow. It's going to be magical, and we will see you next week. Take care, everyone.